at the ability to seize your money. Wouldn't it be smart to put it where they don't know exactly where it's at if it's a legal way to do it? We have accounts called non-qualified accounts. You can put money in, and there's no reporting to the IRS, mm-hmm. and some of them are tax-free. Wouldn't that be kind of smart to do some of that stuff, too?
It would be. And if you want to be a rebel, write this number down, 279-7431. That's David Ernest's phone number. You can call him at 279-7431. Does not cost you one red cent. And I've never seen a red cent, but I've heard about them. But it does not cost you one red cent or thin dime. Or a red thin dime, whatever. It doesn't cost you anything to talk to him. And I guarantee that after you talk to him, you're going to be thinking, you know, that guy makes a lot of sense. So call David Ernest at 279-7431. And David, I think we got about a minute left.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of things you need to be, getting ready for. Mm-hmm. Your retirement's one. The other one is to make sure they don't take your stuff away when you get old and gray and give it to the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Medicaid kind of situation. Like a lot of people are, I'm talking about long-term care. Yes, I'm talking about long-term care. There's all kinds of things you need to know how to readjust so that you can play the game smart and not be took. Be a rebel, my friend. Pick up that phone.
279-7431. Call David Ernest today. You might have to leave a message because he might be out rebelling somewhere.
So, I'll be out defending.
That's right. Call David Ernest today, and we're out of time, David. We'll see you next time on Health and Wealth with David Ernest.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.
Have you ever thought you'd like to own a zero-turn riding mower, but you just couldn't justify it because either your yard is too small or the price is too big? Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power introducing the new Hustler Dash. At only 34 inches wide, the Hustler Dash is perfect for small yards. And starting at only $21.99 or payments as low as $50 a month, it's the perfect price. Bottom line, the Hustler Dash is the most compact, affordable zero-turn on the market today. And when you purchase CTE's VIP package, you get free delivery upon purchase. And for as long as you own your Hustler, you'll get free pickup and delivery, free blade sharpening, our 7-day repair guarantee, and a free rental mower while yours is in our service department. Well, with service like that, why go anywhere else? And military personnel, to honor you, please ask about our military discounts. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
Rich Thomas Weather. Well, hi, everybody. We are evolving back into that pretty typical summertime forecast. For tonight, there could be an isolated storm, I suppose, but the chances are small. Most towns will stay dry. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Overnight low temperature in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, some spotty storms here and there. Should be a warm day with a high in the middle 80s. Then abundant sunshine takes over Thursday and Friday with highs in the mid to upper 80s. Pretty nice pattern. Saturday's high near 90, maybe an isolated storm somewhere in the area. Most towns will stay dry, and then a better chance of scattered storms on Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASC Credit Union. ASC Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASC Credit Union, 9 locations, or online at yourasecu.com. The views and opinions expressed on Clearing the Air are solely those of Terry Adams and other contributors. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, its staff, or any advertisers.
And now, from the plush, dimly lit, and exceedingly cool studios of Blue Water Broadcasting, high atop the glorious Budale Building in hysterical Montgomery, the capital of dreams, which must be true because it's on our trash cans, it's now time for the River Region's only program dedicated to the seeking of truth, no matter what it uncovers or who it may implicate. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the weeknight edition of Clearing the Air. And as always, I am your intrepid host with a set of headphones that isn't working. Hang on a second. Let's do the old backup. I cannot hear myself in the monitor for some reason. All right. Now, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the weeknight. I said that already. I am, as always, your intrepid host, an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, a man dealing with a mind and body infested with the progressive bioweapon, the powers that shouldn't be referred to as Morgellons. My name's Terry Adams. Welcome to the program. Now, this is, as I said twice already, the weeknight edition of Clear in the Air, the companion program to the original Saturday night Clear in the Air that runs from 6 till 9 on this very station. Now, it's on that program where I, along with the incomparable postman, delve into what we'd like to call the deep end of the pool, stuff that most of you will have no idea what we're talking about, but some of you will go, yes, they get it. But here's where it gets real. Pay attention. Put down your mobile device. Stop daydreaming. Listen up. Don't believe anything you hear on this or any other program, because you must learn, number one, trust your own instinct to listen to that voice within you leading you every step of your walk every day. Number two, learn to do your own research, come to your own understanding of what's true and what isn't. Remember, your perception is what your truth and your reality is. That's why the powers that shouldn't be are experts in what's called perception management. Don't let them be a manager of your perceptions. Now, remember, something you have to sweat and toil to attain is always more valuable than something freely given to you. Okay. Early this morning, I began perusing the Philadelphia Crier, a publication I had never heard of, but one that was linked in an article on a News with Views article, not to be confused with News and Views from the morning programs, but it's something I had seen on the official News with Views site. The lady that wrote it had put a link to that Philadelphia Crier in there, and I am blown away by the amount of documentation the publishers of the Crier have amassed against the New World Order and all the various politicians who dare call themselves Americans. This proves, at least to me, that this utopian dream of a world where the poor no longer exist and people never starve and dictators never acquire tyrannical power, well, it's just that, a dream. You see, man's inherent sin, because of the fall, prevents him from being able to pull off such a lofty goal. It's never going to happen. So what is that saying? Absolute power corrupts absolutely? You better believe it. And that's before the various three-letter agencies infiltrate the inner circle of whatever potential power broker happens to pop up in the world. And they do, trust me. No. Man is incapable of constructing, much less properly administrating, a one-world government free of corruption, a one-world government where no one is forsaken for another. It ain't going to happen, folks. Only when the Creator comes back will this be attainable. And for reasons I cannot understand, all of this is easy for me to see. It's also easy for me to see what the powers that shouldn't be have up their sleeve. Or sleeves up, if they have more than one arm. They also know what I just told you, that only Christ can make a one-world order and make a correct one. So it seems logical to me that they want to deceive us into believing that their God, and that's a little g, is the God, all caps. Because if they can pull that off, then, and only then, will people gladly go along with their New World Order, mistakenly believing that it is the Savior that they're following. But it won't be. So, if we follow that line of thinking, I believe that one of the main reasons, if not the main reasons, they have kept technological breakthroughs from us is because they plan on using technology in this bait-and-switch operation. Picture this. Imagine sitting in your backyard when you hear this massive thunderclap and you look up to see a giant bearded Jesus Christ in a white robe, a golden sash around his waist, smiling at you, and suddenly in your head you hear a man's voice call your name, John, Billy, Cindy, Frank, Mert, whatever, insert your name here. I have come to gather my flock, so I need you to go back inside, grab a towel, and of course your wallet. Be sure to turn out all the lights when you're in there and walk to the front of your driveway, because I'm sending my angelic host to pick you up, so I can take you with me to paradise. What would you do? Well, you likely would be in a state of confused hysterics, because the day you've waited for has finally arrived, where you get to go with the Master to live in one of those mansions that his Father has promised you. Now, all of what I just said, despite how ridiculous it may sound, can be accomplished with modern technology. The question is, how would you know if it were real or not? You see, this has been planned for a very long time, because in the world of conspiracy, this is known as Project Bluebeam. It has been discussed for decades in certain circles, and I have to be honest, it makes perfect sense for them to try to do something like this. Now, of course, the trip you would take obviously would not be to one of the mansions. It would most likely be to a reptilian, demonic, the same thing in some people's interpretation, restaurant where, just like the lobsters at our earthly grocery stores, you would be displayed along with other deceived and captured humans so the restaurant's patrons can make their dinner selection. Or if that's too bad for you to envision, maybe it's not quite that bad. Maybe they put you to work in a space mining operation on some distant moon somewhere in another galaxy. Who knows? But it ain't what you thought it would be, because you've been deceived. Because that is what Satan does. That's his gig. You know, Satan, formerly known as Lucifer when he was one of the Creator's chosen ones, an archangel who was guilty of pride, an archangel who despises humans because God, and that is all caps, demanded that he kneel before a newly created from dirt creature from this, a human creature named Adam that he created from the dirt of this planet. Well, that didn't sit well with Satan. He has a serious Jones to get back at us for that. And his goal, his ultimate goal, is to place his throne above the one of the Most High and turn it all around on the Creator by having us worship him instead of the other way around. Don't you see? That's why this planet, this world, is run by Luciferian psychopaths. We know Satan runs this world. Jesus told us that when he was tempted. I will give you all these kingdoms as they were given to me. They're Satan's. He runs this world, folks. Now, granted, he can only do what God, all caps, allows him to do. But right now, God's given him enough rope to where he will eventually hang himself. We know that. We know how the story ends. But it's all the stuff that happens between the beginning and the end. That's the important stuff, because that's at the time we're living right now. So you should be paying attention. You should be asking questions. You should want to know what the heck is going on, Egger. You see, this is why America has been misled by various so-called leaders over the past century and a half. And this is why they have essentially kicked God, and that's all caps, out of our country. And I keep mentioning ancient Israel because the parallels are incredible. But just like ancient Israel, the various abominations before God that were always hidden in the shadows, you know, away from the light, because we know what the light is, suddenly began to show themselves. Just like here, homosexuality started to become prevalent in movies, then in TV. And then what happened in ancient Israel, all these sins that were hidden suddenly came out. Next thing you know, they're accepted. And finally, they're mandated. That's going to happen here. You see, that void that was created when they kicked God out of here was filled rather quickly by that deity in waiting, that fallen archangel himself. You know him, you loathe him, you doggone it, you can't seem to get away from him, Satan. Look around me. Look around you. Look around and tell me this is not the case. Now, be honest. How do you think God, and that's all caps, feels about what's happened in this country? I can tell you how he felt when ancient Israel did it, because he allowed her destruction at the hands of heathens, just as he will ours. You get a little free time, pick up your Bible and go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Read the curses that God promises that he will lay on us should we forsake him for another God. And that's exactly what we've done. It's frightening how accurate the curses are. Your sky will be like powder. Absolutely. Absolutely. You will have sores that won't heal and itch that you can't heal. It gets pretty explicit in Deuteronomy 28. And I've had people, I mentioned this online, and I have people come back at me and go, oh, that's a different disposition. Let me tell you something. When God makes a promise, I don't care what disposition it is, God does not lie. God is going to follow through on a promise. That's what he does. He can't stand a speck of sin. He's not a liar. Not at all. He's the antithesis of a liar. Satan's a liar. God's not. God said he would do this. He will do this. I believe he's doing it right now. You know, I can see most of the curses of 28 Deuteronomy. I can see them in play right now. I'll accept one. The last one is that when we're taken over by our enemies and we're letting them in through the southern border, like nobody's business, folks. It's coming. These heathens, these Islamic terrorists, whatever you want to call them, we're letting our own, the people who are going to take over our country, we're freely allowing them to come across the border. And they're lying in wait. I don't know what they're waiting on, but they're waiting on something. When it happens, are you going to be ready for it? Think about it. You know, moving on. One of the many articles I referenced just in my opening a few minutes ago was the Philadelphia Crier. Man, there's so much good information there about the New World Order and how we are going to be forced to accept it. I actually had a nice email exchange with the lady that wrote that article, the one that gave me the link. According to her, and I haven't had a chance, it's been a crazy day, I haven't had a chance to go through and find this particular document, but she says America has already been divided into 10 regions as per the UN edict for the New World Order. There are governors over these 10 districts, regions, rather. I haven't found that yet. I'd like to know who they are, because you're going, when you start going against the Constitution, you would think that would be, at some point we should be able to, if we want to play by their methods, file a lawsuit, take it to the Supreme Court. This is against the Constitution. You can't do this. At some point, it's going to come to a head where the Supreme Court's going to have to either rule for the Constitution and the sovereignty of this democratic republic we call the United States of America, or they're going to have to rule for the United Nations and the One World Order. There's no gray area. They're going to have to make a ruling one way or the other. And the sooner we can get to that point, at least we'll know where we stand. I think. That's my opinion. I could be wrong, but I'm not. Anyway, one of the articles I found started like this. Are you willing to exchange our stars and stripes for any other flag? Are you willing to have the United States of America lose its rights as an independent nation? Are you willing to have any man, any world ruler for life with unlimited powers? Are you willing to have unrestricted immigration from all countries? Are you willing to lower our American high standard of living to the average of the rest of the world? Are you willing to transfer our great industries to foreign countries where labor is cheaper? Are you willing to have your husband or sons under military control of foreign nations? These seven questions and many more will arise when we realize the significance of the New World Order. And I got to tell you, we're about to lose number two. That's our sovereignty, basically. Number three, any man, world ruler, that's coming. Number four, to have unlimited immigration. That's happening right now. Number five, to lower our American high standard of living to the average. That's happening right now. Number six, to transfer our great industry. That's already happened. Number seven, to have your husband or sons under military control of foreign nations. That's happening right now. You can check off four of them. It's already been done. I know. You didn't get the memo either, did you? I didn't. So many things I have found out just by going through these articles. People have been paying attention. It's just, you see, 20 years ago, we thought that the media actually was the media. It was telling us the truth. We didn't know. And that's one question I always keep coming back to. How long have they been seditious and treasonous? How long have they been the totally controlled and treasonous mainstream media? How long have they been this way? I would submit to you they were this way in 1963 when the coup d'etat happened and they killed John F. Kennedy. Because they lied to us about the weapon. You know, Walter Cronkite was a huge globalist. Huge member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Huge globalist. He stood right there and told us it was a Mannlicher Carcano. Well, first, he told us it was a Mauser. We had video of a guy coming out and it had Mauser on the stock. And then 2 weeks later, it becomes a Mannlicher Carcano with no explanation of how that gun changed. Well, look at who you did. Everybody trusted Cronkite. He was a globalist. He lied to us. And I'm sorry if you're a Cronkite fan. I hate to tell you, but I got to tell you, man, Cronkite was a globalist. He really was. Scary, scary stuff. Tonight, I am going to play you. I promised to do it last night. I ran out of time because it was so important for you to hear what I played last night, even though I've got nothing, no comments that I've seen on it. So important for you to know that, well, let's go back a little bit. It's interesting because David Ernest and I were talking about this before I came on. All the different presidents who claim to have seen UFOs, and every one of them to a man, said, I'm going to open up the UFO files when I get elected. They all got elected, and not the first file's been opened. You know why? Because it's not They don't have that ability. It's beyond their clearance level. And that's the important part. One of the important parts of what I played you last night was when the guy who's second in command of all our intelligence apparatus in this great country can't get information or is not privy to all the research documents where they're backwards engineering a craft from elsewhere, we got a problem. Because you've got black ops, you've got black projects, you've got military industrial suppliers out there doing this kind of stuff because, they're not privy to the governmental laws. So they can say, I don't have to show you anything, and they're right. This has got to be pulled back underneath the umbrella of we, the people. But there's a problem there because we no longer have a government that's of, by, and for the people. It's gone, just like the Constitution's gone. They don't abide by it anymore. Because doggone it, there's just too many restrictions in that Constitution. They can't do what they want to do if they go by the Constitution, so they get rid of it. See, our will doesn't matter anymore. It's not about us anymore, and it should be. Did you know, before we had the illegal, non-ratified income tax, which, by the way, it's not a law. Find me a law anywhere that says you have to pay federal income tax. You can't. There's not one. When pushed, when you finally nail these POSs down, they'll admit it's a voluntary tax because they have to. What good American doesn't want to pay a share to keep America going? Da, 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 da. Yeah, right. Before we had income tax, we were supported by tariffs. Yes. The duties that we laid on all articles of foreign manufacture, which prudence indeed requires us to establish at home with the patriotic determination of every good citizen to use no foreign article which can be made within ourselves without regard to difference of price, secures us against a relapse into foreign dependency. You know who said that? Thomas Jefferson. In an 1815 letter to John Baptiste Say, a French economist. Let me repeat that. The prohibiting duties we lay on all articles of foreign manufacture, which prudence indeed requires us to establish at home with the patriotic determination of every good citizen to use no foreign article which can be made within ourselves, without regard to difference of price, secures us against a relapse into foreign dependency. What he's saying is, if we can make it here, we have no business getting in elsewhere because we're giving away our manufacturing base, which is exactly what Bush did with NAFTA. George Herbert Walker, pedophile German Nazi Sheriff Bush, is a traitor to this country. It was illegal for him to be elected to begin with because of the deeds of his father, Prescott Bush, who attempted to overthrow this country in 1933. It's in the Library of Congress. Don't call me a conspiracy theorist. It's fact. Part of the deal that made him escape prison, Prescott Bush, was no one in his family could ever hold public office. How'd they get away with it? I don't know. Because he was head of the agency, I suppose. Let me give you another quote. A free people should promote such manufactories as tend to render them independent of others for essentials, particularly military supplies. President George Washington. Under free trade, the trader is the master and the producer is the slave. Protection is but the law of nature, the law of self-preservation, of self-development, of securing the highest and best destiny of the race of man. Free trade destroys the dignity and independence of American labor. It will take away from the people of this country who work for a living, and the majority of them live by the sweat of their faces. It will take from them heart and hope and home. It will be self-destruction. President William McKinley said that. I wish we still had tariffs on all our imports. Why? Because tariffs are what kept America's manufacturing alive. It kept people here with careers, not jobs. Careers. Our ability to purchase quality goods produced by American-owned companies, and because those tariffs once supported the entire cost of running our country for 126 years, up until 1913, there was no federal income tax. We kept all of the monies we earned. Today's communist progressive taxation is a far cry from what our founding fathers envisioned for America's citizens. Now, the article I'm reading you is written by Kelly Nelson, the lady I told you I had an email exchange with, a wonderful, wonderful patriot and a damn good writer. News with views. Following World War II, America began switching from a policy of protection to a policy of free trade, which used international trade deals as a means of diplomacy and alliance building, slowly eroding and ultimately destroying America's status as the world's most dominant manufacturing power. Right after World War II, let's see, what else happened right after World War II? Oh, yeah, Roswell, 1947. Then, of course, you had the CIA being created, the NSA, the NSC, you know, about a dozen different three-letter agencies. What timing. The idea that America's economic tradition has been economic liberty, laissez-faire, and wide-open cowboy capitalism, which would naturally include free trade, is simply not real history. The reality is that all four presidents on Mount Rushmore were protectionists. Protectionism was, in fact, the real American way. Now, Trump's populist pro-tariff advisors Bannon and Navarro opposed the globalists in Trump's administration, which included economic advisor Gary Cohn, and Council on Foreign Relations member Army Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, who was then Trump's national security advisor. Now, Cohn resigned when the president called for broad import tariffs on steel and aluminum, because, you know, we can't have that, these free trade Democrats and Republicans. McMaster was fired and replaced by former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton. 1913, we had the illegal and non-ratified income tax law. The tax dominates the revenue scheme of the federal government today. It is totally unconstitutional. Prior to ratification of the 16th Amendment, the Income Tax Amendment, in February of that year, 1913, the federal government managed its few constitutional responsibilities without an income tax, except, of course, during the Civil War period. During peacetime, it did so largely or even entirely on import taxes called tariffs. Congress ran the federal government on tariffs alone because federal responsibilities did not include welfare programs, agricultural subsidies, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. Before the War of Northern Aggression, the need for tariff revenue to finance the federal government generally kept the tariffs at reasonable levels. However, during wartime of the American history, the Founding Fathers were able to raise additional revenue employing a different method of direct taxation authorized by the U.S. Constitution prior to the illegal passage of the 16th Amendment. These alternative taxing methods gave the young American nation embarrassing peacetime budget surpluses that several times came close to paying off the national debt. President Andrew Jackson boasted in his veto of the Maysville Road Bill back in 1830 that God had blessed the nation with no taxes, except tariffs on imports, and no national debt. Old Hickory presided over a nation where Congress had abolished all federal income taxes, and no citizen saw a tax collector of the U.S. unless that citizen was in the business of importing foreign goods. And now the $20 bill sporting the visage of Tennessee's beloved Andrew Jackson will soon be replaced with a picture of abolitionist Harriet Tubman. Yee-haw, I'm excited about that. While American consumers were occasionally manipulated by outrageously high protective tariffs, inside the United States a massive free market emerged over which the U.S. government had almost no influence. And they couldn't stand it, folks. They could not stand it. By way of contrast, the advent of the income tax prompted some congressmen to note that this tax was designed not principally for revenue. The U.S. government had always had plenty of money from tariffs, but it was passed to manipulate the American people and their choices in the market. And this has been the legacy of the income tax. While the income tax has produced the type of revenue that has made a massive transfer of wealth from the productive to the unproductive, the incentives, through thousands of deductions and tax credits, have manipulated the American people into choices that they would not have made otherwise in a free market. These manipulations, whether in favor of green energy research, cash for clunker automotive purchases, or tobacco crop subsidies, have been chosen according to the prevailing virtue in Washington. And I might add the kickbacks from those various companies and industries. You better believe it. They're all getting filthy, freaking rich up there, not doing our will, folks. Prior to 1913, Americans were responsible for themselves and independent enough to know that their future depended not on the government, but solely on themselves. Of course, our government sold out American manufacturing. You remember NAFTA. I remember June Collier, president of National Industries, here in Montgomery, saying you're going to hear a giant sucking sound when all the jobs relocate to cheaper labor in Mexico. She was absolutely